Hello, everyone. Today it is November the 12th, 2017. A beautiful day here, and I hope it's a beautiful day at least in your heart, wherever you are. We welcome you with all our hearts, and we know that Yeshua is here for you. So I'm going to put us on a Q&A mode so that we can have a community conversation. I really, really love that, and I miss that I couldn't be part of it last week. So we are being recorded now. Our session is being put on record for posterity. And for those who couldn't be here in person, people tell me they come back and listen to the blessing hours later or days later, and they still get the same energy from the blessing, which just shows us that for Yeshua, for God, and for the Holy Spirit, there is no such thing as time and space. It's all here right now. So I'm just so glad to be here with you, and I ask that you come online so that we can have a lovely discussion. I see that Eva is here now. So, Eva, you are on.
Hi. I know recently several times somebody mentioned something about your painting and whether it was the way Jesus really looked or not. Well, not too long ago, it was called to my attention a book which I read many years ago, and my daughter had just read it, and she said in there was the description which Edgar Cayce had given for the Last Supper. And what had happened was, as probably many of you may know, that he gave psychic readings in a trance state and would be unconscious and somebody would record him. Well, he gave one of these readings, and at the end of the reading, he did not wake up as normally when he was given the suggestion after three times. Then he began describing the Lord's Supper just spontaneously. And he began describing what they had on the table, what they were eating, and how the disciples looked. And he said Judas was the best looking one, and Peter was rough and ready, and so forth. And then he described what the master. And what he said was, the master's hair is mostly red and a little bit curly, but not feminine. And his eyes, interestingly enough, he describes as steel gray or blue or steel gray. And I just thought that was interesting.
Yes, that is very interesting. There is also one historical description that survives from the day of Yeshua, and that was from the Jewish historian Josephus. And Josephus describes him as being a little taller than average. He had reddish brown or copperish hair and gray-green eyes like the ocean. So we've got a correlation there. And there's another a description written by a Roman centurion of him that is very, very similar. I used to have that framed and up in my office, but I decided to take it down because we're not absolutely certain. We do know it was ancient. We just don't know if it really was accurate or if it was used by people later on in time to justify their opinions. So I wasn't completely certain about that one. But I do believe in Edgar Cayce's readings. They are amazing. And I know that the historian Josephus, his work was never altered in any way to justify any position or opinion. So we've got two correlating things there. And, of course, today we have DNA records that tell us what the range of physical possibilities were in those days. There has been a lot of genetic filtering since those times because the people that kept conquering Jerusalem kept getting rid of people that didn't look like them. It's not completely unlike what happened in Germany in the 30s and 40s, you know. The poor Jews have just been run all over the planet to be genetically defeated. But the interesting thing is the strength of their genetic signature is so strong that to this day there is not another race of people that resembles them.
He also said he looked to be approximately 170 pounds.
That would indicate, right? I can't really say. I never looked down at his feet or the whole stretch, but just based on how he stood around the furniture, I would say he was over 6 foot, maybe 6'1". Not a basketball player, not extremely tall, but a nice, stately height, and not overly muscular or overweight. So 170 pounds would probably be about right.
Yeah. So I found that very interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. Thank you, Eva. That was great. Okay, I'm going to take a call from Jerome. Jerome, I haven't heard from you in ages. You're on. You're open, Jerome. You may have to open your own line, but we've got you opened.
Okay, I don't know how to open my own
line. Okay, we hear you. We're fine.
Oh, great. Glad to bless you. I have a name for you, and it's my daughter, Joan, J-O-A-N. And,
okay.
She's just going through a whole bunch of things with her personal life and her family. And but anyway, I thank you, and I thank Spirit, and I thank Yeshua for everything that you're doing, and I just offer you the most humble light, compassion, love, peace, and joy for your life, too. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Jerome, and I just cherish the fact that you're in our community. You've always been such a bright light.
Thank you for your light, too.
You are so welcome. And I'm going to take another caller. I think this may be Desmond. 780, is that you, Desmond?
Yeah, hey, Glenda.
Hi.
Hi. I have some really interesting news.
Good.
I bought your e-books in, like, 2013, right?
One.
He's a Yeshua.
Oh.
Yeah, and they're on my phone, but I just learned you can just type it in if anyone wants to figure it out. But I figured out that I can just click the page and it will read it to me. So, I mean, I can sometimes get in a few pages whenever I want and it will just read for me the books.
Oh, really? How do you do that?
Just type in Siri, read books for me.
Read books for me?
Yeah, read iBooks.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's great. And actually, thanks for bringing that up, because we're really thinking about getting both of the major books onto audio. We have not done it in the past because the delivery of the physical product would have been too expensive for most people, getting them on CDs. But now, because of digital technology and the fact that most new cars have a USB port, and so many people have iPads or the equivalent of it, smartphones, that can take digital audio and play it, that we feel that we can now provide those books in an affordable form. And I'm so excited. I don't know if we'll have it ready for Christmas. It would be wonderful if we could, but we'll do our best.
And
we'll have it here for sure.
The amazing part about your books, Glenda, is that I'll have incorrect thoughts and I'll be wrong in my thinking, or I'll learn it from church and I'll have a wrong thought, and then I'll just open it up randomly and And Yeshua's thoughts are always the brightest. And I just find myself naturally surrendering to his love for whatever reason, because I just love his energy behind his words. And the it's just amazing how his words speak to me in such a way that I just recognize the truth as like, okay, that's what I want to attain.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. And that kind of relationship to him really does change a person's life. It really does. So just keep going. Doing great work.
Into my life, I never would have gone so deep into all my spiritual things without having had a relationship with Yeshua, because my mom read it when I was younger, and I always had that feeling, but I would never go to church because I didn't want to conform to the doctrine or anything.
I understand.
So I was always kind of scared of the church until I got a hold of your books, and then I was like, yeah, I'm the man.
I love it, Desmond. Desmond, we've got quite a few other people wanting to either ask for a blessing or make a comment, so I'm going to move on. All right? Thank you so much for your words of appreciation, though, and congratulations on your progress. We have a wireless caller from area code 413. You're on. Hi. I could hear you for a moment, and then you disappeared. Are you there?
Hello?
Hello? Hi, I can hear you fine now.
Oh, hi, Glenda. I'm from, it's June from Massachusetts. I just wanted a blessing for myself and my fellow apartment people. We had a fire temporarily homeless. So, and the young couple upstairs just had a brand new baby. And if they weren't home, you know, at 5 o'clock and didn't smell it, and it had happened later on, we could all be, you know, not here.
Oh my gosh! Yes. It's well, your angels were watching over you.
Yeah, I really
about
think
it.
So.
Oh okay. Yes, and we will definitely be conveying blessings for you.
Thank
so
you.
Bless you, honey.
Thank you. I really
you're welcome. And Dottie, I see you're on the call. Hi.
Hi, Glenda. It's Dottie from Sedona.
Yes.
I think last week you were calling out to me.
I might have been.
Yeah, and I didn't answer because I hadn't pressed *6 and gotten in the queue. And
right. I was. I was calling out to you. I remember you were the only one that showed up on my...
No, and I want to tell you why. It's because I don't have a computer, so I didn't get the wrong information.
Okay.
Why you kept calling my name and I didn't respond, because I wasn't sure I was the Dottie that you were talking to.
Oh, that's all right, honey. That's fine. I remembered you in when I offered the blessing. And everybody, I did offer a blessing for you. I just wasn't. I was, my world was pretty spun around last Sunday. And I do apologize for that so much. And I'll just take a moment to ask the blessing givers to remember me and all of the others of us down here in the post-storm area, because life is still, actually in some ways life is worse than it was going through the storm. The storm was just a trauma, but almost 3 months after the storm, 35% of our population is still homeless. And major stores, like huge grocery stores, still don't have telephone service. I still don't have internet service. I do what I do through my cell phone. And so that's how I connect with you. And that's how I got so confused last week, because through my cell phone, I didn't realize I was getting messages from a conference calling service I haven't used in 7 years. and I couldn't compare and check it. So there are still so many logs in the road, literally and figuratively, down here. So many people are still sick with respiratory ailments, and so many people are still flooding the insurance companies with claims that the poor adjusters are just overwhelmed, and there are not enough contractors to go along to supply the needs for repair. So we all try to take care of each other as well as we can. It was so, so lovely. 3 days ago, 9 o'clock in the morning, I was sleeping late because I'd been up late the night before working, and I was awakened with a lawnmower out in my front yard. Somebody from down the street had actually brought their riding lawnmower up here to mow my lawn for the first time in 3 months. I guess they got tired of seeing the tall grass, but I think more than anything, they just felt a spirit of charity to come in and clean my lawn up. And then 3 other people came and joined. And, of course, as I've told you before, I've offered our warehouse to a charity service that is now doing their charity work out of our warehouse. So we're all helping each other. We're all becoming a little local tribe of indigenous people taking care of each other's needs, including at times food. But, you know, it's so easy to forget, whether it's the fires in California or the floods in Houston or Puerto Rico or the other damages that have happened, the shootings that have happened, the massacres that have happened. It's so easy to think, after the news, let's go of it. And we get so tired of it because the news just drones on and on and on saying the same thing. But long after the tragedies happen, the recovery is often just as bitter and just as strained. And we need to remember those who are healing and suffering and still trying to put their lives back together. So I really do ask for your apology that I have not been able to keep up with so many of our communications. I didn't realize until after sunset on Friday that I didn't send out our sunset meditation this week. But we'll get back on course because, of course, we love you. Of course, the course is wonderful. And, of course, the path is full of light. And we're just working on getting our path back and moving straight. And we will have some very special offerings for Christmas. We're trying to put those together for you right now. And I'm just loving putting together our new seminar for today about the artist in you. If I ever needed to be reminded about the many ways we can be an artist, that certainly happened after Harvey hit town. I have needed to be an artist in every way that human life can take form. And it just reminded me of how creative our ancestors were. Not just populating the North American continent, but ages before that. Ages and ages before that. And I think about how creative the ancestors were to our modern aromatherapy, from which our essential oils are created in honor of. How creative they were to extract from nature the medicines and the inspirational fragrances and the balms that we enjoy today. The creativity that is in human consciousness is something we can only sing praises to God about, that we were created in the image of God to be creators. So Thanks for giving me an opportunity to say that, Dottie. And I'm going to take a call from area code 808. You are on. Hello.
Aloha, Linda. It's Wayne.
Oh, hi, Wayne. How are you? Aloha.
Yeah. I'm glad you spoke about the oils because I wanted to thank you for the blessing of these fragrances that have graced every single healing session that I have done since I met you in 2003.
Oh, thanks, Wayne. And, you know, I don't know of a single healer using them who hasn't said the same thing. They really, really are amazing, and I have been guided by the best of the best, the best of the best people who grow them, distill them, provide them, and then Yeshua and the Holy Spirit who has guided me in the formulation of the recipes. It's just been an act of love all the way up and down from heaven to earth.
Well, as soon as I anoint someone, they totally feel the frequency and they drop in.
Yeah, I believe it. I know I do. And there's nothing like Christ scent. You know, we really can't keep Christ scent in stock. I've got to find some way to overstock before. I love to offer a sale on Christ scent before Christmas. That's something we traditionally do. Right now, we have an empty wagon, so I'm looking for ways to get into overstock so I can offer that sale for Christmas. So everybody just stay tuned. I'm sure I'll be able to do it.
Awesome.
Want to ask for a blessing, Wayne?
Yes, please.
Okay.
I finally finished my new album, and I'd like a blessing for that so I know where it belongs in the market. And I have a new relationship as well. I'd like...
good. Congratulations.
Thank you. And thank you for all your
I can feel the joy. Okay, Wayne,
wow.
You do have our blessings for that, all of that and more. Oh. I'm going to take a call from, I think it may be New Zealand.
Hello, yes, Glenda, it's Peter. I'm calling from Australia, actually.
Australia, okay.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. I love your work. I started reading Love Without End about 15 years ago, which was very good. Now, I had three things that I was going to say to you that I've prepared in my head to get prepared for the call, but I can't remember the third one, so.
Okay.
but, yeah, it's just for a blessing for myself, really, just with loneliness and a bit of depression, that sort of thing. So a blessing would be great.
What is your name again?
Peter.
Peter. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just trying to think what that third thing was that I was going to mention. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I've been listening to your Christ blessing for about 2 or 3 years. I listened to it after the event once you posted on the website. And so today is a good time to give you a call and connect more personally with you.
Oh, I'm so glad you did, Peter.
Yeah. Well, I won't hold you up any longer, so
okay.
That's great.
I
could just be included.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got you down.
Okay,
and
great.
Maybe someday we'll meet. That would be great.
Yeah. Yeah. I look forward to that. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome. And Stormy, you're on.
Glenda?
Yes.
Can you hear this music?
Yes, I can.
What more do I need to say?
Oh, thank you so much. It's divine. It's heavenly. Just keep playing it in the background, and we will all feel it. The blessing is conveyed.
Bye.
Okay. My friends from all over the world, we are living in some very challenging times. There's no question about that. But our challenges sometimes bring us great renewal and great wisdom. And they bring to us forgotten abilities, things we didn't realize we could do. Because when life is comfortable, some of our talents tend to go to sleep. And I don't mean the sleep of heavenly tranquility as in meditation. I mean the sleep of unconsciousness in the sense that we forget we have them. Sometimes we forget to wave at our neighbors. Sometimes we forget to step outside when our mailman comes and say thank you. Sometimes we forget that we can make a new recipe for ourselves or our family that refreshes our body, our sense of taste. Sometimes we forget to pray, or even if we do pray, we forget to kneel and pray with our whole heart and being, not just for ourselves, but for the whole world. Sometimes we forget to ask for guidance. But when times are hard, we remember all these things and more. And most of all, what we forget is to listen to the messages of our soul. We think in easy times that we can figure things out from the street level, from the main street level. We walk along Main Street, we look in the shops and we think, oh, that would be nice. Or we get an idea and we think, oh, other people would like to have that. I think I'll manufacture that and sell it. Make some money and then I'll go take a cruise. You know, we think like that. We think street side. That's not to say it in a bad way. It's okay to sit in the park and look at the daisies. But when we face challenges, whether it's the challenge of a dramatic circumstance, or whether it's the challenge of loneliness, or when it's the challenge of a health crisis, or the challenge of losing someone we love, or not knowing how to solve a problem, or a financial depletion, we crank it up and we go into overdrive. But I pray that you don't go into stressful overdrive. I pray that you pray first. You meditate second. And you talk to friends and family third. And that you simply trust yourself and rest and have faith above all else that you will be guided. You see, what we've allowed to happen in street side living is just our better and finer abilities have gone into neutral. And we let them idle. Give them time and opportunity to wake up. Call them forth. Listen to music. See, that's what Stormy does. Read inspirational work. That's what Desmond does. Scott in Florida often speaks up on our calls and tells us about his public service and his messages that he offers to the public and how transformative they have been on waking up his higher and finer states of being. Some people are musicians, some are artists. Well, actually, we all are artists, but we're not all fine artists. but you're all artists. Wake up the artist in you. Allow that to then tickle the consciousness of your higher self. And look up. Look up to the stars at night. What we offer in Christ's blessing is that seamless continuity between heaven and earth. We were told by the prophet Jeremiah this message from God. He said, before you were even in the womb, I knew you. And in the womb, I named you. That means we were called forth into being by our Heavenly Father. We were given our true nature before we ever took our first breath. In the womb, we were given our name. And before we entered the womb, our Heavenly Father knew us as a living soul. That's how high you can take it. We just forget about that. Once we exit the womb and take our first breath, we are faced with the world. And the world has its impact on us. If we stop breathing, we'll stop living. If we stop eating, we'll stop living. Pretty soon we'll take our first step. And if we stumble, we'll fall, and it will hurt. We'll cry. When we start making our way in the world, we won't want to do it alone, and so we make friends. If we lose a friend, we'll be sad. We'll encounter forces that are hostile to us, including bacteria and viruses, and we'll get sick, and the sickness will hurt. And so we'll lay down and ask to be cared for until we're able to get up again. And so it is. We enter the world needing to learn. And as we learn generally, or at least at first, about how to deal with the world, about how to grow up into full personhood. Our first big job in this life is simply to grow up. That's it. And it's a big job. And as part of that, we go to school. As part of that, our parents give us education. And then the world really hits us. We got to learn something to do that's productive, beneficial to others, and profitable to ourselves. And not everything works at first. So we face challenges. And because we face those challenges, we forget where we came from. And we forget to look up. So in this blessing, Yeshua, we create your progress from heaven to earth and from earth back to heaven. He and the Holy Spirit, and by the grace of our loving Father, we are reconnected and rejoined to our full potential. Now, what you do with that is up to you. Fortunately, your body and your soul remember, they do, they remember all of the potential. And they'll direct much of this blessing to areas you can't even think about. That's why miracles can happen from it, and often do. Not always miracles of physical healing, but miracles of reunion, miracles of happiness, miracles of discovery, miracles of enlightenment, miracles of ability recovered, and sometimes miracles of financial input coming right in almost out of the blue, miracles of friendship. All kinds of miracles happen because there are layers and layers and layers of your being that you forgot about and will be ignited by this blessing. So all you have to do is sit quietly while the blessing givers and I conduct this most sacred and holy energy to you and through you. And then, when we're done, just go and rest. Let it do its thing. While we're doing it, pray. Or meditate if you prefer. I would like to see you pray, though, because in prayer, you will direct this energy. And I think that's an important thing for you to reestablish. And that is your relationship to God, to Christ, to the Holy Spirit, to direct what they offer to your greater good. So having said that, let us begin. I will start with a prayer to Yeshua. And when I'm done, the blessing givers and I will do our thing so that you can receive and be all that you can be and have all that you can have and know and receive all that you can receive. Dear Yeshua, we come before you humbly, surrendering everything at your feet and expecting everything from your heart. Our faith brings us here. Our joy gives us confidence to know that you love us now and in all ways, forever and always. We are your brothers and sisters. You bring to us the light we forgot we had and encourage us to be the light we have always been, knowing that at midnight, even a firefly makes a difference in the evening sky. We ask for your comfort for those who are bereaved. We ask for your confidence for those who need a little nudge, a little help to move forward. We ask that you heal the sick. We ask that you protect those whose lives have been challenged, whether by fire or storm or flood or disaster or human derangement and hostility. We ask that we recover our ability to forgive and move forward into a better and more beautiful prospect of living. We ask that you help us to be all that we can be and have the confidence to simply accept your gift. Amen. Amen. Your blessing is now complete, so it's time for you to go and rest. Be quiet and just don't even pray, and certainly don't think. Just be quiet and receive. It's okay if you go to sleep. Bye-bye for now. And I look forward to being with you again next week.